Across London, people are running into the wall Kwakme is about to describe. Kwakme is fictional. The wall is not. This is their story. In Romford, the NHS workforce crisis deepens while training places sit empty and qualified candidates are turned away from nursing programmes they desperately want to join. Kwakme's journey from care assistant to registered nurse should have been straightforward. He had the grades, the experience and the determination, but Treasury spending constraints stood between him and the career that would serve his community.
I knew I wanted to be a nurse from the moment I watched my mother come home from her shifts at Queen's Hospital. She would kick off her shoes in the hallway, roll her shoulders to ease the ache from 12 hours on the ward, and still find energy to ask about my homework. Even when she was exhausted, there was something in her eyes that told me she had spent the day doing work that mattered. When I was 17, working part-time at Boots while finishing my A-levels, I made the decision. I would become a registered nurse. I did everything right. Completed my A-levels at Havering College, then worked as a care assistant for 3 years at Meadowbrook Care Home in Hornchurch. I wanted to understand the work from the ground up, to save money, and to build the kind of experience that would make me a better nurse. The residents taught me patience. The night shifts taught me resilience. By 2019, I had saved enough to support myself through university and gained the practical knowledge that no textbook could provide. I applied to the adult nursing program at University of East London, confident that my application was strong. The acceptance letter arrived in March. I remember reading it twice, then calling my mother at work to tell her the news. But 2 weeks later, the university called. The admissions officer sounded apologetic. "I'm afraid we have to defer your place. Health Education England has reduced the commissioned training places for London by 15% due to Treasury spending constraints on workforce development budgets. We simply don't have the funding to take all the students we accepted." I spent the next year working extra shifts at the care home, watching the same staffing shortages that would define my nursing career. Colleagues worked double shifts because there was nobody to cover the rota. Residents waited longer for assistance because we were stretched beyond capacity. It made no sense. Here was the evidence of need, right in front of us, while somewhere in Whitehall, someone was deciding there was no money to train the people who could help. I reapplied to UEL in 2020. This time, the rejection came earlier. The admissions team explained that they had received funding for just 180 nursing places instead of the usual 240. "The budget cuts have been severe," they said. "We're doing what we can with what we have." I tried Middlesex University next. Same story, same apologetic tone, same explanation about funding constraints. By 2021, I was becoming desperate. I contacted NHS England directly, thinking perhaps there was some program or pathway I had missed. The workforce planning team was polite but blunt. "The budget simply isn't there for additional training places, despite the shortages. We understand the frustration, but our hands are tied." For a long time, I accepted these explanations. They sounded reasonable. Everyone was saying the same thing. There was no money. The government was being responsible, managing its finances carefully. Who was I to argue with Treasury officials and university administrators? They understood these things better than I did. But then I started noticing things that did not fit the story I was being told. Walking past UEL's Stratford campus one evening after another rejection call, I saw the nursing simulation labs through the ground floor windows. State-of-the-art equipment, electronic patient simulators, IV training arms, fully equipped hospital beds. Everything a nursing student could need to learn their craft. But the lights were off, the labs were empty. I stood there for a while, watching people walk past a building full of training equipment that was sitting unused. I got talking to a security guard who was doing his evening rounds. "Those labs," he said, "they're only being used 2 days a week now. Used to be busy every day, but they can't afford to run more courses. Shame, really. They've got capacity for twice as many students." That was the moment I started to understand what was really happening. The equipment existed. The building existed. The instructors existed. I had met some of them during my campus visits. The students existed. I was one of hundreds being turned away each year. The need existed. Every care home, every hospital ward, every GP surgery in London was crying out for more nurses. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The UK government issues the pound sterling. Every note in my wallet, every digit in my bank account, every number on a treasury spreadsheet, all of it created by the same institution that was telling me it could not find enough pounds to connect the empty training places with the people who wanted to fill them. The government that prints the currency was claiming it could not afford enough of that currency to train the nurses that its own health service needed. It was not a financial problem. It was a political choice dressed up as an accounting constraint. I understand now what I did not understand when I first applied. The phrase, there is no money, is not a statement of fact, but a statement of priorities. When the Treasury says there is no money for nursing training, it means they have chosen not to create and spend the money that would fund those places. The resources were all there. The buildings, the equipment, the teachers, the students, the need. The only thing missing was the political will to connect them. I am still here, still working in care, still applying for nursing programs. But I hear these conversations differently now. When someone tells me the NHS cannot afford to train more nurses, I think about those empty labs at UEL. When someone says the budget is tight, I remember that the same government that says it cannot find pounds to train healthcare workers somehow found billions of pounds for bank bailouts and billions more for tax cuts. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people want to do necessary work but are told there is no money to train them. It is the story of a political choice disguised as an economic impossibility. The resources exist. The people exist. The decision not to connect them is made in Westminster by people who have confused a sovereign currency issuer with a household that has to check its bank balance before paying the bills.
What Quackmay experienced has a name, fake experts. Think of how tobacco companies once cited doctors who claimed smoking was harmless, or how pharmaceutical firms funded studies showing their products were safe when evidence suggested otherwise. The technique is the same. Find credentialed voices willing to repeat your preferred narrative, then present their authority as proof of your position. In Quackmay's case, the fake experts were the economists cited whenever anyone questioned NHS spending limits. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, became the standard response to demands for more nursing places. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The fake experts allowed officials to treat the household budget analogy as settled science. Every time Quackmay was told there is no money, the speaker was applying household logic to a currency issuer, the false belief that government must find pounds before spending them, rather than spending pounds into existence to deploy real resources. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Carlsfree H. May's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Romford ranks 340 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in decile 7. The constituency has 445 registered charities and has received £10.2 million in grants, tracked by 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.